A reading from the second book of Moses, commonly called Exodus. In those days, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I will know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart have enlarged. O, bring me out of my distresses, O Lord. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins.
A reading from the Epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the church in Thessalonica. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness, in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O, visit me with your salvation. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus went out from Gennesaret and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. She has nothing to offer him. By all rights, she should be prevented from even speaking to him. Had Joshua and the Israelites done as God commanded when they were given the promised land, she wouldn't even exist. Her ancestors would have been put to the sword. And according to the tradition of the Israelites, she was unclean. Someone to be avoided. She was at best a foreigner who worshipped a different god, unworthy even to approach him. And yet, she came out to the border of her region, lest he pass by without seeing her. In anguish, she cries out. She calls him Lord. She uses the proper scriptural title for the promised Savior. Son of David. In desperation, she begs for mercy. She pleads with him to heal her daughter. Both would be considered pagans. But her heritage aside, in her great need, she appealed to the one promised from of old. She is willing to put aside the ancestry of her flesh and the religion of her family to be engrafted into the children of God, into the kingdom of heaven. She used the proper messianic title, but it wasn't purity of doctrine that was driving her request. Her daughter was a demoniac. An evil spirit sent by the devil had hold of her. She was suffering terribly, and her end would mean that suffering would continue for eternity. So while Joshua had failed to conquer the enemy in Canaan, the Canaanite woman begged the new and better Joshua to conquer the enemy of Eden. He gave her no answer. The disciples wanted him to send her away. It seems that they were bothered by her shouting, perhaps embarrassed by her conduct. She was inconvenient. But faith is like that. Faith proclaims the truth in the face of a world that wants no part of it. God made them male and female. The fallen world has now begun to teach that gender is fluid. And the truth that God made them male and female is not well received. The world would rather see the Christians sent away and the scriptures sent away. So it was with that Canaanite woman. But she is persistent. Neither shame nor scorn dissuade her. You see, faith is like that. Two things drive her: fear and trust. She fears the eternal destruction of her daughter, and she trusts in the Lord, the Son of David. She trusts that he will do as she prays, which is to have mercy.
That Canaanite woman is not unlike you. You too are a child of Noah, for all men on earth are descended from him. And like her, you are no true Israelite by ethnicity. You are not a son of Jacob, and the Messiah was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. You have no claim to him. You have no right to his gifts. You have no claim to his mercy. And you have sinned. You have lived among a sinful people. So a holy Lord would rightly steer clear of your region. It would be just for him to simply look the other way and pass you by. And the world would be quite happy with that, for faith in Christ is inconvenient in this fallen world. It confounds the sinful world's efforts at indoctrination. And more than that, you have not earned. Rather, by your sins, by your doubt, you have forfeited any right to approach him or ask anything of him. You are not worthy. For as the apostle writes, the will of God is your sanctification. You should abstain from the lusts of the flesh. You ought to walk in a way that pleases God. For God did not call you to uncleanness, but holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. So like that Canaanite woman, you are made painfully aware of your sins. And you confess that the devil has attacked and that you have been too weak to stave off his assaults. Perhaps for that reason, the woman of Canaan is the perfect Lenten saint. For like that woman, you have heard that from the Israelites, from the tribe of Judah, a Savior comes. He is the Lord, the Son of David, and the throne of his kingdom is established forever. So while you have fear, while you have worn ashes and donned violet, while you are unworthy, still you plead his mercy because you trust in him. You believe his promise. In him is mercy, and in him is healing. The Lord didn't cross over into Canaan. The woman came to the border to beg his help. But for you, to heal you, to save you from your transgressions, to save you from the evil one, the Lord crossed over into your region. He left heaven and crossed the border of the Virgin's womb. And he took on flesh. He became man to save you. He knew your great need, and he hears your cry for mercy. He came to suffer worse attacks of the devil than the daughter of that Canaanite woman endured. He came to cry out and to receive no answer. He came to be the one that suffers, not that tormented Canaanite girl, not her anxious and fearful mother, but the suffering servant, the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And while Joshua fell short, the new and better Joshua finished his work. He lived a sinless life in word and deed, in thought and action. His obedience, both active and passive, his obedience to God the Father was perfect, as was his holy passion. He is the agent of the Father's will, for he is divine. And it was the Father's will that the Son give his life for the life of the world. The new and better Joshua left nothing undone. He lost not one of those that the Father gave him. Israel was led out of the desert by Moses and into the promised land by Joshua, that the Messiah be born in Bethlehem. That's the reason for the Exodus. That the Messiah dwell in Galilee, that he meet that Canaanite woman, that he be arrested and tried in Jerusalem, and that he finish the work on Golgotha. And all that he did for you, He conquered the devil and all his demons. He conquered sin. Joshua led Israel into the promised land, that the new and better Joshua fill that garden tomb and keep the Sabbath for all men of all times. And then he kept the promise of the promised land. He conquered death. He fulfilled the sign of Jonah. And believing in him, you who were an alien and a foreigner are made a true Israelite, a child of God, a son of Abraham, because you have Abraham's faith. For Abraham saw his day and was glad. He who was before Abraham is, because he lives. The disciples tried to drive that Canaanite woman away, but faith won't be sent away. Faith clings to Christ, even when receiving God's just reproach. And in faith, she agreed with his rebuke. Yes, Lord. And she agreed with him on her unworthiness, but still she pled for mercy. She believed that the man in whom she trusted is the same God that Moses saw, Christ, the glory of God. She saw the face that Moses could not see. She was no Israelite, and yet this pagan woman was made a daughter of Abraham by faith in Jesus. And so this Lenten tide, you were aware of God's rebuke. And like that faithful mother, you cling to Christ, even in the face of God's reproach. To his law, you reply, "Yes, Lord." In faith, you agree with God's word and God's will, and you cling all the more to him for mercy. And he is true to his promise. He forgives you all your sins. He has compassion on whom he wills to have compassion. He has compassion on you. In the font, he makes you his child. He gives you faith, saving faith in Christ. Faith that believes in a new and better promised land in the heaven that your Lord has prepared for you. He makes you his church, his holy, chaste, and pure bride, the bride of the true bridegroom. The woman was satisfied with crumbs from him. How like her you are. For you look to the bread of life for true food. And for you, he prepares his feast this day. You approach his table, the master's table, and he gives you place there. And he feeds you, dear child of God, not simply crumbs, but his body and his blood. And it is unto you as your faith desires. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.